It pleases the court. My name's Bob Kovacevich. I'm representing the estate of Edward A. Cumminat Jr., and I'd like to reserve 3 minutes, if I may, Your Honor.
All right, proceed.
This case really is a lack of jurisdiction of both the person, the territory, and a lack of the right of the state to seize this Indian property.
Is the critical question in this case, what do we do with the 2011 decision in State versus Cumminat? And I understand you have some arguments. We shouldn't follow it. We can't follow it. But if we do follow it, if we are bound to follow it, doesn't it answer almost all the questions you've raised about jurisdiction, preemption, contraband?
Absolutely not, Your Honor. Okay. The reason is Yakima, and there's a lot of discussion in the brief about the Yakima case, the federal case, the 358 third. That's a later decision. And the answer also is preemption. This court decided Rawlins and said when there's a conflict between federal law and state law and Congress' intention is thwarted, then federal law applies. Yakima says an Indian who's selling cigarettes in Indian country, and I'd like to explain that in just a second, is not liable either criminally or civilly unless the Indian person has collected the cigarette tax, which incidentally is impossible because in order to collect the cigarette tax, you have to buy a $20,000 roll, and only distributors, it's in the brief, can buy cigarette stamps to put them on cigarettes. So again, repetitively, the Cumminat case does not apply. The Yakima case was about 65 days before the Cumminat case was decided. It was not cited. Additionally, on the same point, the Chehalis case, where there was a off-reservation allotment under 25 U.S.C. 465, the same statute as this allotment, said state law does not apply. In that case, they argued about the state law that if there's federal land ownership, then the building on the property is personal property, and the state had a statute that said we can tax that if it's on federal. The Chehalis decision said state law is not followed, and that's the big message I have to Your Honors. The court decided the Rawlins case way back. Justice Hale decided the Clallam County case and said congressional law applies when you're talking about taxing Indian people. The other issue that very seldom is faced in this, but I think we've clearly laid out it in the brief, is what is this allotment? The cigarette tax statute said Indian country is defined according to 18 U.S.C. 1151. 1151 has three parts, and the C part defines Indian allotments. The Indian allotments were allowed in 1887, where the Congress decided that Indian people should be in mainstream society. And so from 1887 to 1913 or so, these allotments were allowed. Congress decided the opposite because all of the Indian land was being bought by mainstream society, and so they terminated it. But it never terminated the allotments that were granted in the meantime. This was allotted in 1926, and that segues a little bit into the Quinault argument. Cumminat's father was given Indian trust funds to buy the land at Puyallup. The reason was to get Indian people into mainstream society, and if they were able to prove they made a living, they were able to live there, then the restrictions would be withdrawn. They never were withdrawn. And often it's like after 25 years, you can sell the land. they were never withdrawn here. And so this is the same as an Indian reservation. And the cigarette tax law says that. And I would like, that's obstacle preemption. I argued the Tohono O'odham case, which is exactly in point. It invalidated a state statute. Throughout here, we have cited many of them. I would like to, I did not include it in the brief, RCW 6420030 says Indians can sell their land, even if it's with allotment, and eliminate all restrictions. It's exactly opposite of 25 U.S.C. 349 that says only Congress. And this is the dichotomy. This is what's happening here, Your Honor. There are 11 million acres of these, you might say, orphaned allotments throughout the United States. This seldom comes up. And most people, and the attitude of most state people is, we know about Indian reservations. We know that Indians have jurisdiction within their reservation. I would guess that an infinitesimal small part of the public and lawyers, and with respect, even judges, know that these are exceptions. They're just like Indian reservations. And that really is the point. And Yakima says also, preempts, and says you no longer have to sell cigarettes. And you don't have to observe the cigarette tax law, the one enacted in 95, unless you want to. So it totally invalidated the requirement that Indian people must do it. And they say, if you don't do it, you're not going to go to jail and you're not civilly liable. So going back to the same point the court asked, no longer do they have to do that. And it's up to Congress, if they want to make the change, to do it. That's what Justice Hale said in the Clallam County case almost 40 years ago.
Thank you.
May it please the court, my name is Jennifer Elias, Assistant Attorney General representing the Liquor and Cannabis Board in this matter. Today we ask the board to affirm the board's final order for the following reasons. First, and I'll refer to it as the estate or Mr. Edward Cominout for ease, because there are so many case names involving Cominout in this matter. The estate has failed to demonstrate that it's entitled to relief under the Administrative Procedures Act, which is the only act under which this court can grant relief. Second, the court has already touched on this, the jurisdictional issue is actually answered by the 2011 Cominout case. It's a rare instance where the Washington State Supreme Court has examined personal and subject matter jurisdiction out of the same facts that this case was born out of. There was a companion criminal case, and this is a forfeiture action, and it was that Supreme Court case that was born out of the criminal action. And next, the search and seizure conducted at the Indian Country Store, which was owned by the enrolled member, Edward Cominout, on trust land outside of the Quinault Reservation, was valid. And finally, the grant of the motion for summary judgment, and here there were cross motions for summary judgment, was appropriate, where Edward Cominout could not meet the burden of demonstrating that he could legally possess or own the cigarettes. And I think that's where we go back to what is this case really about? Is it about the imposition of taxes? Not in this case. There was no issue of how much tax would be imposed on Mr. Cominout.
When we turn to the jurisdictional question, I guess as I'm hearing counsel's argument, it seems to be in part the landscape has changed dramatically since the 2011 Supreme Court decision, Washington Supreme Court decision coming out. Does that kind of take us to another place? Are we faced with a completely different jurisdictional question than was resolved in that case?
No, Your Honor. I believe that counsel was referring to Confederated Tribes and Bands of the Yakima Nation versus Gregoire, which is a Ninth Circuit case that came out in 2011. In that case, actually upheld the issue of whether an off-reservation Indian retailer can possess. It said that an off-reservation, which would be an Indian country, off-reservation Indian retailer cannot possess unstamped cigarettes. So it actually stands for the proposition that would apply to this case. And the position of this trust or allotment land is determinative in this case. It's outside of the Quinault Reservation. If we look at the estate, Mr. Edward Cominout was an enrolled Quinault member. He availed himself to the Quinault tribe. I know there's been some discussion about the nature of the trust parcel and the allotment, but if we're looking at RCW 3712010, we can see that there is a bright line that divides where trust land is within a reservation's boundaries and where it is without. Here, this is without. And getting back to the Supreme Court, the Washington State Supreme Court decision in Cominout, it looked at cases that it looked at Indian country both outside of an established Indian reservation and inside, and they found that the facts in this case, the same claimants in this case and the same seizure of the same cigarettes, occurred outside of an established reservation, so it was more analogous to the Cooper case. And in that case, they found that there was personal and subject matter jurisdiction.
How about his argument that effectively what he referred to as orphan allotment properties, really under the progression of changes in the federal statutes and recent decisions, is effectively to be treated as reservation property?
I think that leads to an impractical result, and it's not supported by case law. If we look at what Congress did, so basically it's a federal preemption argument that he's raising. So the land was acquired in 1926, but we can see that Congress allowed or gave authority to the states to exercise jurisdiction, both civil and criminal jurisdiction, in 1958. And then where certain states, Washington was one of the states that could elect to assume jurisdiction, they did so in 1963. And even when the Quinault tribe asked for retrocession of the jurisdiction back to the tribe, the Secretary of the Interior exempted those areas covered by 3712010. So we're not in a different position. We can't wish away where this land was. We have Congress in enacting Public Law 280, and in Washington passing RCW 3712010, we have a definite framework within which to determine whether or not there's jurisdiction in this case. The land is not orphaned. I don't know if Your Honor would like to hear anything about the seizure issue.
Well, you said that he wasn't authorized to have cigarettes. I take it unstamped cigarettes in the quantity that were seized?
That's correct, Your Honor. There were roughly 300,000 packs of cigarettes which were seized in 2008. That's a good question, because it says how did the Liquor and Cannabis Board come to seize these cigarettes? Well, the state entered into a compact with the Quinault tribe in 2005. And then after that compact was entered into, the tribe amended its tobacco tax code, Title 86, and decided that they were going to assess. So the state of Washington retroceded all of its taxing authority to the tribe. And the tribe decided it was going to assess the cigarette tax on all of its members. And so where you have we have the store in question operating on a reservation owned by a Quinault member, but not having cigarettes which would bear stamps. So under these conditions, all cigarettes held by the Quinault tribe are a tribal retailer, and the Quinault determined that only wholly owned tribal retailers could exist. They determined that, so if you have cigarettes, they should either have
a violation of Quinault law, not state law.
Your Honor, it would be contrary to Quinault law, but where the actions, they have joint enforcement under the compact, and where the cigarettes had no stamps, either Washington or Quinault, that is what led to the seizure. That essentially the Cominouts fall out of the compact, and then the Liquor and Cannabis Board is tasked with enforcing Chapter 8224.
The briefing suggests these actual seizures, there was a destruction order, but that destruction order hasn't been acted on while this appeal is pending?
That is correct, Your Honor. And also I would anticipate that Your Honors may have questions about the destruction. One fact that wasn't in our brief is that many of the cigarettes that were seized were King Mountain, and they were non-compliant, they're non-participant manufacturer cigarettes. And under RCW 7158030, the board is required to destroy those cigarettes. And so,
but
again,
have not yet been.
No destruction has occurred yet, Your Honor, pending this appeal.
Thank you.
Again, if we turn back to the 2011 Coming Out case, it answers the questions of jurisdiction based on the location of the property, but it also answers the question of whether or not the estate qualified as an Indian retailer.
Did it squarely take on a federal preemption argument?
It did, Your Honor. It did. It provided a history of how the federal government delegated civil and criminal authority to the states in the late 50s, and how Washington interacted with the tribe and the request that it received from the tribe, and how the law is applied. And that has not changed. If you look at State v. Shale, issued from the Washington State Supreme Court, they go through a similar history. So we're not on different footing as counsel would assert. And again, getting back to the possession issue, he in this hearing, in the forfeiture hearing, it was an administrative proceeding, and his burden was demonstrating he could legally possess or own those cigarettes. And if we look at under Washington and Quinault law, who can possess unstamped cigarettes? No retailers can possess unstamped cigarettes under either law. And then there is an exception in Washington tax law that would permit a wholesaler, while transporting unstamped cigarettes, to possess them, but only where they've given pre-notification to the Liquor and Cannabis Board. And so, again, we know that they weren't a licensed wholesaler, that they didn't have a license from the tribe, and they were not permitted to transport the cigarettes.
But critical to the basis for the seizure and withholding those is the fact that sales were being made. This wasn't a pure possession case.
That's correct, especially I think if it's a retail outlet and they're in possession of at least 300,000 packs of cigarettes, the assumption is that they were to be sold. And I would like to just get back and just add that State v. Clark and the seizure issue definitely states that although it was a state search warrant, so long as the search warrant doesn't conflict with the plenary powers of Congress or tribal sovereignty, and here we know that the Quinault tribe participated in the search warrant, and that we have public law 280. I see that my time is running out, so I just again ask this court to affirm the board's final order, knowing that the only relief available here is under the Administrative Procedures Act.
Thank you.
Your Honor, with respect, opposing counsel is completely wrong in telling this court that the allotment is not within the cigarette tax law, because RCW 8224010 sub 3 or 4 says we define Indian country and Indian reservations as under 18 U.S.C. 1151, which includes the C part, which is an allotment. So again, and then the Quinault argument, and I don't think this court wants to climb the hill on saying that the Commonwealth case was wrong, but it was wrong. And the reason is, and the court's comment was correct, how does Quinault law apply? This money was taken from Mr. Commonwealth Sr. to buy an allotment off the reservation so that the Indian people could be in mainstream society. It was removed. If the Quinault wanted jurisdiction, they should have petitioned the BIA and say it's part of our reservation. They did not. So the Quinault law, and of course the Commonwealth case went on to question of whether the Quinault law applied and whether notice should be given. Actually, the case had conflicting affidavits. It should not be up here on summary judgment. But they said you didn't comply with Quinault law, therefore they're contraband. Incidentally, cigarettes, the case law throughout the United States is you can haul unstamped cigarettes anywhere you want. It's only when you try and sell them that they have to be stamped. And I put in the brief the military people, of which are at least 285,000 in this country, can buy unstamped cigarettes. My son will be home in 2 weeks. He can buy a whole armful of cigarettes from the commissary at Fairchild Air Force Base, run all around the state. I have a carton of his at my office. It's totally unstamped. That's not illegal to possess unstamped cigarettes, and that's why they don't have a chance to confiscate them. Plus, they don't have a chance to get on the allotment.
Didn't the record here, though, the administrative record, include the materials submitted in support of the search warrant, which included documented sales?
Yeah, the cases we've cited, Manigan and all those cases, incredible case, where the state law said that it condemned the person to death for committing a crime on the allotment. And they said, wait a minute, there was no state jurisdiction. You walk. The cases I've cited, about seven of them there, saying, hey, where there's an allotment involved, there's no jurisdiction under state law. And I submit to your honors, and this case should be reversed. The statute, by the way, says return the cigarettes promptly. We have lost on opportunity already by litigation. They're 8 years old. They're worthless. And because they're worthless doesn't mean the court has to follow the state. We have lost an opportunity, and we should get market value. I submit it should be reversed.
Thank you, counsel.